My name is Jeff Kimmel. I serve as the executive director here at Christ Church. Is it not great to be in the house of God today? Amen?
Yeah.
All right, let's try that one more time. Is it not good to be in the house of God today? Amen?
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, you're in for a treat. As Brian shared earlier, we have four stories today that we want to share with you of how Christ Church has been involved in the lives of people in sometimes very painful circumstances. But what I love about this church is we care about the people who are here. Whether you're first time, whether you've been coming here all your life, this is family. And so you're today, family, going to hear stories from people in your family. So we're going to ask them a couple of questions, but I would encourage you, as you listen to their stories, think about where is God in your life? Because we're all in a story. We're all in a story, no matter where we are, no matter what, whether we even realize it or not, God is in our life. So I want you to think about that as we hear the stories today. First person today is Jessica Bradley. Jessica, could you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about where you've seen God moving in your life?
Yes. My name's Jessica Bradley. That's my family up there. My fantastic husband, Mark. My daughter, Reagan, who's 8, who I'm going to talk about today.
You're good.
My son Mason up there at top, he's 6, and then the youngest is Hunter, who's 3. I joked in the last service, I only claim them depending on how you know them, those boys, because they get but they're sweet. The reason I'm here today to talk to you, and honestly the reason I'm here at this church, is because of Reagan, and that's kind of where our story starts. The way I would say it is, you know, my husband and I, we didn't have kids, and we thought, oh, this is fun. Well, we were very wrapped up in ourselves, as many people are when they're in their 20s. You know, we were working, buying ourselves things, and we thought, let's have a baby, and we'll take it places, and it'll be fun. You know, so naive. And then we had Reagan, and a lot of our friends had kids at the same time. And slowly for us, we started to realize, I would say, you know, she's 4 or 5 months old, that she's not smiling like kids her age are smiling. And then time went on, it's not working.
Now, we won't turn the light out on you, so we save that for Brian.
I didn't feel as loud as
now we're good. Thank you, Brian. Okay.
Oh, so my time starts clean, then I could start.
Second service, you can do whatever you
want.
Long
time. So we started to realize that, you know, she wasn't smiling, and as time went on, we realized the other babies are sitting up. She's not sitting up. She wasn't doing the things that she should be doing. And so we took her and got her evaluated, and we started physical therapy, and then OTs came, and then speech, and over time, we just started to realize slowly that she was not going to catch up, that that Reagan has global delays that are just going to be with her for her life. And I'm in a different place about it now, but at that time, when she was 3 or 4 years old, my husband and I were in a very dark place. We felt alone. Our friends and family welcomed us, but it was very difficult for us to go places with her. She cried a lot, and I realize now because she couldn't speak, so she screamed. It just was hard to kind of fit in anywhere. So, by the grace of God, we had another child, Mason, who, I guess the way I tell this story is, you know, around, he was almost turning 2, and I heard from a friend, hey, there's this preschool that you can send kids that aren't potty trained. And they can be 2 and they don't have to be potty trained. And I thought, oh, that's fantastic. So we found Green Tree. And that's kind of how it started for us. I met Heather. My husband and I had been raised in the church, but we hadn't been going to church for years. And Heather said something to me like, you know, we have this program where you can bring your child and there's a buddy system and they can be taken care of and you can come to worship. And for us, that changed our lives. So we were able to get back into church. We were able to bring Reagan to a place where she was accepted and loved and welcomed. We felt welcome. And it wasn't stressful. We were able to sit here and understand God's peace and hope for us in our lives, and to start to see our lives differently, that it wasn't this dark, bleak outlook of how life was going to be, but that instead that there was a whole family of people that would always accept her, that would accept us, and that would show us how to live with her diagnosis and show us how to appreciate her. And really, through all that, we came to have a renewed understanding of just the peace that comes from understanding that we are not in this alone. Mm-hmm.
So, what should we as a church take away from this? You guys have been through a tough journey,
yeah,
just to get to this point. How can we as a church, what should we listen to? What should we hear from you?
Well, I forgot to mention Rosemary in the last bit, because for me, Rosemary is one of the people that changed my life. Because she accepted Reagan, and she told me about all these buddies. And so I have to say that this has evolved from the last service, but I met a man in the lobby who said that he thanked me for sharing my story and said he feels like he's being called to help.
Amen.
In the special needs ministry. And he's scared. He said, I'm scared of it, but I feel like I'm being called to help. And I think that's something that we all need to think about, that we should do what's scary. We should reach out to the people that we don't know how to approach, and that the most important thing we can do as Christians is to show other people what God's love and peace can bring to us and what it can bring to them.
So I want to appreciate this, if you will. You were nervous, yes, doing this. Okay,
I'm
as
still
you would expect. But see how God has moved just in the space of one service. Her willingness to share in the midst of nervousness, someone has felt called now to be involved in. And that wouldn't have happened if you hadn't been willing to share. So thank you for doing that. Anything else for us, Jessica?
The one thing I said last time that I think it's important, I don't think I need to tell this Christchurch family this, because I think you guys know this, but I think we forget sometimes that people are walking around in pain. Hmm. And they're masking it, they're hiding it, they're going on with their lives, but they go home and they're in pain. And it's up to us to reach out to them. And I think that you guys are really great at that. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. So I shared this at the last service, and someone came up to me with a tip in between. My wife and I have an 11-year-old boy, and I know nobody else ever has this, but man, sometimes it is tough to get him up on Sunday morning and get him into church. So I'm sure we're the only family in the world that suffers with that. But as we deal with that, a couple of weeks ago, right here underneath this cross, a gentleman came up to me in tears after Pastor John had talked about the difference maker and our desire to create a best-in-class special needs ministry. And said that he and his wife had not been able to be at church together in 4 years. And it was an immediate rebuke for me, because I'm like, man, here I am grousing about, I got to get my son going in the morning, but I get to bring him here. And they couldn't do that. And that's something that we want to change. And quite honestly, that may be some of the folks that are worshiping with us online. So it's such a reminder that you're right, Jessica, people, there is pain. We put on our mask and we put on our good faces, but truthfully, sometimes there's a very deep pain underneath, and how we receive people and speak to them makes the difference. I'd like to introduce my friends. This is Milton and Leah Zapata. Milton, as you know from our worship team, Leah's been involved in our children's ministry, and they have an amazing story to tell. So Milton and Leah Zapata.
Good morning, family. My name is Milton Zapata, and this is my partner in ministry, my partner in crime, my beautiful wife, Leah Zapata. We've been married now 11 and a half years. We have been worshiping here at Christ Church about 13 years now. We have three amazing kids at home with us. Our eldest, Naomi, who is 8 years old, our son Israel, who is 6, and we have a 2.5-month-old named Elisha at home with us.
And so the picture on the screen may very well look like it was from this 2.5 months ago when we had our son Elisha. However, this picture is from 4 years ago. That is our son Solomon. We were well on our way into our third pregnancy, and at the 20-week mark, we had a standard sonogram done, and the result of that sonogram came back with a doctor very nonchalantly saying, oh, and as you're aware, this child will not survive after birth. And we were not aware that that was a possibility going into that particular sonogram. And he said, I assume you'll be terminating. And we had never discussed our personal choice, if we would ever have to make that choice. We've discussed, you know, in a larger scale, our feelings of abortion, our, you know, our love for the unborn. We've discussed that in general, but we had never been faced with that as an actual choice in our life, and a physician in front of us asking us. And so in that moment, two things. We realized compassion for all of those who have ever had to make a choice like that. But we also knew that it wasn't our choice to go that path. It was up to us to follow God's call in marrying each other, in following his call to have children, but it is not our call to decide how long we get to be the parents of those children. So 20 weeks we have left in this pregnancy, and he had a condition called anencephaly, which means that he did not have a fully developed brain or skull. The top of his skull, you could see it very vividly on the sonograms, was not present. So while he was in my belly, I could feel him kicking and punching and kicking my ribs. And I mean, all those wonderful things that mothers experience, we had all of those. And while he was inside of me, he had life. But we didn't know for how long it would be. We didn't know if he would pass while I was still carrying him and it would become a miscarriage, if we would give birth but he would not survive. Or there was a very, very small chance that we would give birth and he would live. And that is what you see in the picture. We did give birth and he did survive the birth.
From the moment that we received the diagnosis of our son Solomon, it was a very heartbreaking moment. And it came to a realization of, as well as lost dreams that we had to accept. And I remember going back to our car afterwards, and Leah and I, we're just in the car, and we break down and we cry. And we knew that the only thing that we can do at that point is to go to our Lord in prayer. And one of the things that I recall from our time in prayer that evening was, we didn't pray for a miracle, though as a father, I knew that was in my heart, you know, and I would very much welcome that. But I think the most prominent thing in our prayer was, all right, Lord, you put us on this path. More than anything, we want for your name to be known. We want for your name to be glorified during this journey, during this experience. And when we shared this news with our Christ Church family, man, just the love and the support that came from the body of Christ, that came from our family here within Christ Church, was amazing, because you guys prayed for us. You covered us with love. You fed us. And when Leah and I just didn't have the words anymore to pray during that time, you prayed for us, you interceded with us, you joined in with the Holy Spirit with groans that passed, you know, any understanding, any words. And for that, we're truly grateful for the love that you showed us and for walking with us during that journey. And it was on April 13th, 2012 that our son Solomon was born. And actually, we had a lot of our church family present. Even Pastor John was there. He was actually in the operating room with us because he was delivered via cesarean. And that was an amazing time. And afterwards, we all gathered in the room. And I mean, luckily, we got one of the big rooms because we had, I mean, we had easily, you know, 20, 30 people there. We weren't expecting that at all. To just have that time of prayer, to have Pastor John anoint Solomon during that time, because we were, I mean, we came out of that operating room and said, all right, we need to get to the room as quickly as we can, because we didn't know how long we would have Solomon with us. With most anencephalic babies, they will pass away within the first couple of hours. And we had the blessing of having our son with us for 6 days. And
it's all right, man.
To have that moment, to have him anointed, you know, the journey didn't end there, because God had plans. Scripture said that the Lord declared that I know the plans that I have for you. And I love that from Jeremiah 29. For God doesn't just have plans. He knows the plans that he has for you. And he had plans, and he knew the plans that he had for our son Solomon. And it was 6 amazing days of being able to just hold on to this little guy and to love on him. And, you know, with anencephalic children, they're born without some of their functions. Some are not able to see. Some cannot react to you or even feed or swallow. But with our son Solomon, that wasn't the case, and he was able to nurse from his mother. So he got nourishment from his mother. That there was just amazing. You know, he was able to react to us when we talked to him, when we sang to him. I mean, he looked at us and just looked, reacted to us, knowing that we were talking and singing to him. You know, he would, whenever we tickled him underneath his chin, he would chuckle and all. And my boy had lungs on him. When he was hungry, he let us know that he was hungry. You know, God had an amazing journey for those 6 days, because there were people that came to not only show us love during that time, but to show Solomon love and to hold on to him. But also, just from that experience, touched many lives. We know of friends who came and visited, who, for them, having that time with Solomon, they were able to reconcile relationships within their own families. There were some that were couples that were able to come to terms and come to closure with the loss of their own child. Recall 2 experiences, one with one of the nurses who was there in the operating room with us, who we found out later that at that time she was contemplating just quitting her job. From this experience, she decided to continue with her job and to continue with her schooling to become a doctor, you know, from that experience alone. And also a young lady who was able to experience the love that came from Christ, that came from God, and come to realization that regardless of her life choices, that there is a God that loves her, that who died for her. I don't know, to be honest, if she came to have a relationship with Christ, but I definitely feel that seeds were planted, and definitely for many others.
So, Mom, you get the last word. What should we, as a church, this is a very tough story for me personally, because I went through a stage with my daughter where I almost lost her. that is a painful thing as a family. How do you want us to hear this story and apply it to our lives?
Make tough choices. And make good tough choices. Not on your own. This was not easy. We would never, ever call someone out and say, oh, we could do it. Why can't you do it? That it's not about ease or comfort. It's about knowing who is holding you while you are making your tough choices. And looking back, everybody has an experience where you can see where Christ was working in the midst of it. And you can say, oh, I saw that Christ was working. But instead of waiting until you're out of it, ask Christ to show you his work while you're still in it. Because while you're still in it is when you can influence other people. And while you're still in it is when people are willing to hear about Christ. And while you're still in it, there are people watching you and waiting for you to succeed or waiting for you to fail. And I'm glad the picture is still up, because making hard choices in front of your family has a huge eternal effect. We considered not having our two children in the hospital. After Solomon was born, we thought he would meet them and then they would go home. We did not want them to come back day after day. There were other people from church coming to visit him, and we thought, we don't want our son and daughter to be the one holding him when he takes his last breath. We do not want them to have that burden. We came into this, we are the parents, we will take that burden. But everybody else was meeting our son and they weren't getting to know him. And so we changed our mind. Mm-hmm. And we had them there all day, every day, for hours and hours, and they got to feed him and we took his hat off and they got to see the inside of his skull. And they didn't react with, they said, huh, that, okay. I mean, make hard choices and the people around you will accept them. And those kids, our older two, now have an experience that will stay with them long after we are gone. But it wasn't easy. So Christ helps you make hard choices if you are willing to let him walk with you.
Thank you very much for sharing. I appreciate it. Thank you, brother. Sometimes life is tough. Sometimes life is really tough. But I think Leah's point about God is in the middle of even those tough times is what keeps us going. And when we have family and friends who don't know that, we have to be there for them. I think one of the beautiful things about this story was the number of people from Christ Church who came and were there for them, just present.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. pour out our praise to you only.
Church, can we stand up and sing this out together? You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Come on, church, let's shout his praise.
And all the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Lord, in the midst of our worship, we come to your throne again. Lord, we are awed that someone who was so perfect, someone who is so holy, that your perfect righteousness, Lord, reaches down even to us. That no matter where we are, no matter what we've done, your love overcomes all of that darkness. Forgive us, Lord, for when we have forgotten that. Forgive us for not coming to your throne and asking again, Lord, forgive us. We want to hear what you want us to hear, Lord. And as we move forward, we pray that your Holy Spirit would come into this room, that it would open our hearts, that we would hear how you have been involved in people's lives. For instance, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, not all stories involve older people. We actually have someone who's coming to this, who's at the stage, who is an amazing young lady, and I want her to share with you a little bit about how God's been working in her lives. Sometimes I think we're so, you know what, the younger generation, they don't know anything. Absolutely wrong. There's some amazingly powerful young men and women who call Christ their father. And Katie is one of those. Katie, would you join us, please? This is Katie Thompson, everyone. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about where God is in your life.
Good morning, everybody. Oh,
we having it again? Hang in there, everybody. Oh, yep. Just a second. Okay, now try it.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Katie Thompson, and I'm currently a senior at South County High School, and I'm involved in Christ Church's youth group. Now, the picture up here is me and my family when I was crowned homecoming queen back in October at my high school.
Hang on, everybody. That's a big deal. Homecoming queen, yeah? All right.
Thank you.
So tell us how you came to Christ Church and what God's done in your life since you've been here.
So technically, I've been coming to Christ Church since I was 8 years old when we moved here from New Jersey. Uh-huh. But I didn't really get involved until about 2 years ago when I became a part of the youth group. Okay. And one of my friends, Emma Seguin, introduced me to the youth group. She just told me, she's like, hey, you should come to youth. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll come. And at the time, I had been a really insecure freshman. I felt like I had no friends, felt like I had no purpose. Like, why am I here on earth, you know?
Anybody else have that in your freshman year of high school? Okay, we're all been there. Go ahead.
So she told me to come, so I came, and I let her know that I was coming. And when I came, it was the most welcoming experience I'd ever been to. Everybody's so loving, so welcoming. I had never felt so important and like loved in my entire life.
Awesome. And how has God working through you now that you've been here for a couple of years?
So that summer, I went on a mission trip to Topsail Island in North Carolina. And at the time, I was still super insecure, same thing, and I didn't want to go. Like, I remember crying on the phone to my mom, telling her, please don't make me go. But I ended up going, and we helped a man named Mr. Ben, and he had been in cancer remission. Because of the overwhelming health bills, he couldn't pay for his water, electricity, heat, air, and even in his house, termites had infested the living room floor. So he had a hole in his living room floor. And so we went in, the hole had been fixed by the time we got there, but I helped paint some windows, sand closets, and actually Christ Church gave him an air conditioning unit. And he was just so happy, and it was really amazing to meet him. And through that, I learned that everybody struggles, and everybody has a struggle, and it's not just me. And I met so many amazing friends. Actually, one of my friends sitting in the crowd, I actually helped her transition from middle to high school, which is really cool.
Yeah.
And I also founded an Instagram page called SoCoFam, which stands for South County Family to Embrace Diversity and Inclusion within the South County community. And I've also led middle school small groups last year through, with the help of Chris and Erica, who have been amazing people in my life.
Awesome. So, aren't you glad you went on the trip?
Yeah. I'm so glad.
So, where do you go from here? What's next in your life?
So, right now, I've applied to about 10 schools. And my first choice is Duquesne, which is a Catholic school up in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And what I love about Duquesne is that they're very service-oriented. And the pastors or priests, whatever you call them, they're actually all around campus.
Yeah, or you could just say those guys, maybe that'll work too.
Yeah. They're all around campus, and they get to know the students, and it's such a service-oriented school. And they also have students with disabilities on the campus, and I've helped out with students with disabilities. One of my best friends, her name is Courtney, and she has Down syndrome.
Oh, good for you. So what are you going to study?
I want to study statistics or data analytics, and I want a minor in French.
Okay. Good for you. That is, that's really impressive. What would you like for us as a church to take away from your story?
So one of the things that stuck out on me on a mission trip that I went on last year, the pastor's name was Jeff as well. He said that everybody has a plan. God has an amazing, extraordinary plan for each and every one of us.
Amen.
And whether or not we may be struggling now, it does get better, and God's with us every step of the way.
And you believe that?
I do.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing your testimony, Katie. Amazing. Truly amazing. Thank you, honey.
Thank you.
Thank you. We give that to the teller. So we have one more story. I hope this has been a good morning for you. Has it been good? Yeah. So we have one more. This is my friend Ricardo Cruz. Ricardo has an amazing story to tell about his journey into America and how this church was a vital part of that. Ricardo, can you introduce yourself and tell your story for me?
Sure. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning. My name is Ricardo Cruz. I'm from Puerto Rico. I'm living in Virginia. You can see the picture. That's my beautiful family, my wife Maga, my kids. And the background you see in there, let me explain it, is a promise that is going to be fulfilled next year. Glory to the Lord. So I want you to tell your neighbor, when God opened the door, you decide if you're going in. Just talk to your neighbor or tell him that. When God opens the door, you decide if you're going in. So, in my life, I've been a Christian since I grew up. But that was a hard time in my life. That was the beginning of 2011 that I lost my job. My finances, I would say that I lost everything. Except a kindly wife that was there with me, start praying with me, telling me, God is in control. Don't worry about it. So I'm blessed because I'm married with a Christian woman. I have to say that. So we start praying as a marriage, and I start praying by myself because I remember in August 2011, there was a friend that visited us that told me, Ricardo, I have an opportunity for you in Virginia. But you need to decide if you want to be part of my team. And I was telling him, well, if that happens, that's going to be a miracle. Because my wife is not going to leave the weather 90 degrees to go to Virginia. And the other thing is that my wife is not going to want to leave far from his family. So, but at that time, I see, well, is God opening a door here? I have to pray. So I was praying alone because I was telling God, if this is you open the door, you need to change my wife's heart. That is my signal. So I was working part-time. I remember I was doing an audit in Dominican Republic. And one afternoon, my wife called me, crying. she told me, baby, I want to move. And I was like, wait. You keep my attention. Honey, are you sure what you're saying? This is a big business here. We're talking about Spanish speaking to English speaking, right? You can see it. If you don't understand me, I am speaking in another tongues. So that was a big deal for us. And she came back to me saying, I want to move. I think it's time for us to move. Okay. So I call my friend. I Skype him and say, hey, do you still have that opportunity to me? I say, Ricardo, the paperwork is ready. You just need to come here. He say, I'm going. Because God opens the door. So I would say that the difficult decision for us as a family to came here was that we don't have any family here. I mean, my parents are in Puerto Rico, my parents-in-law are in Puerto Rico. But when we came here to Christ Church, I mean, you guys are my family. You know, the worship ministry, the love that we receive here in Christ Church, Emmaus community, I mean, God was real, so he opens the door, but even in the difficult times in our crisis, even when we came here, and even into the future, God is in our plans. And I praise the Lord for that.
Yeah, it's amazing, just like Leah told us, that sometimes have the courage to make that tough decision. And for you and your wife, that was a tough decision to leave your family, an area that you've grown up in, that's your life, to come here. Help us understand how we can learn from this and how we can apply it to our lives.
Absolutely, Jeff. We have to do the church. I mean, God is counting on us. As I always say, we cannot save the world because Jesus already did that. But we can save worlds, which is each family out there that need Jesus as the center of their lives. So, beautiful family, beautiful people, let's do the church. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So, if you could, in your program, you'll see your Christchurch notes. If you could take it out, I want to ask you, if we were going to go through three questions real quickly. And the first one is where do you see God in your story? Have you ever experienced something and you look back and you're like, no, I think that was God, because only God could have made something like that happen. Where do you see God in your life? That's really the more important question, is where is God in your life? When we decide to follow Jesus, when we decide to become Christ followers, our plan is no longer our own. Our plan is God's plan. We're a piece of this beautiful story. I think of all these stories, and all of yours is a book, and each chapter is a different story. But you've got to look at your own life. And you've got to have this awareness. Things just don't happen. It doesn't work that way. Things just don't happen by coincidence. God is always, always in control. God always has a plan for you. Second question is, how do we share our story? And I was thinking about this week. And one of the things that I think we often forget whenever somebody wants to share something with us is just the pure beauty of listening. You know what, sometimes don't we want to just fix their problems or give them input on how to make their life better, or you need to do this, or you need to... And I think we miss something when we just listen. I think sometimes we're so wrapped up in, I've got to make sure that everybody knows everything. And truthfully, Christians get a bad rap for this, because we're seen by a lot of people of being judgmental, of being critical. of having all the answers that we forget that we've got these. And God wants us to listen. There's a wonderful saying by St. Francis of Assisi, and it says, "Preach the gospel at all times. Use words if necessary." Will people know that you're a follower of Christ? Do people know if I'm a follower of Christ if I never said anything? Will my actions show that I'm a Christian? Are my actions sharing my story of God? And then finally, is how do you help others? There's a story in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, where it's some friends who have a friend who's paralyzed. And they hear that Jesus has been healing. They hear that he is a miracle worker. And they want to get their friend there so he can be healed. But the crowds are too big. So they decide, hey, let's go up on the roof. We're going to cut away part of the roof and lower him directly to where Christ is. And Jesus was so amazed. It says in chapter verse 20, Jesus was so amazed at their bold belief, that he healed the man and he forgave their sins. How many people do you know that are paralyzed? Not physically, but they're paralyzed with fear, or they're paralyzed with bitterness, or they're paralyzed with doubt that they can't believe God. They don't see that God is ever going to come into their situation because they've got nothing but doubt. They're paralyzed by it. Well, just as in this story, the man had friends who believed enough for him, that is the way that we can help our friends. We need to have the belief that they can't have when they're paralyzed, when they're paralyzed with doubt and fear and so forth. So I hope today that these stories have just given you a different insight in life. You've taken away some things about when to recognize God, the power of prayer, the power of invitation. Think of Jessica's life and how a friend invited her into the preschool. Think of Katie's life and how her friend invited her here. Think of the power of prayer that we heard about in Ricardo's life. And yes, think about seeing God in a really tough situation that we saw in Milton and Leah's life. We all have different stories, but these stories today aren't unique. We all go through different things, but God is on the throne. Prayer is powerful, invitation is powerful, and recognizing that he has a plan for your life. Let's pray. Christ, we are so blessed by the stories that we heard today. We are blessed, Lord, that they had the humility and the willingness to overcome their fear and share. And Lord, we know that was not easy, but oh, what a blessing it was to hear them. Thank you for the hope that we've learned today, that in spite of the difficult situations, that you are there, that you are very present in our life. Thank you, Lord, for the reminder of prayer changes things. In things that could seem hopeless and impossible, prayer changes things. And Lord, thank you that we as a church are friendly and welcome people into our family. Lord, I pray that no one would leave today and not feel that special kinship that we have here at Christ Church. We love you, Lord. We are so blessed that you would love us, that you would care for us enough to send your son to die on the cross that we can have eternity with you. Lord, I pray that you would bless the week that's ahead as we reconnect with family, as we reconnect with people, and sometimes the difficulties that come with that. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to see all of that in a new light. For it's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.